sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak on Twitter, and Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the internet. That's right. Find my show notes on ShutUpPodcast.com. You'll also find my RSS feeds up there too. Okay. All right. Okay. Now I hear myself. My bad. Okay, sorry, little minor technical difficulties with the headphones. I like to hear like a strong, there's like a specific sound I need to hear in my headphones too before I can record. But now I can hear like every single molecules of my breath, but that doesn't matter. All right, okay. Hey, FYI, quick reminder for you new listeners and, another reminder for existing listeners, and that is Shut Up Podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and weighs a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Who's your blah, 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 blah. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on July 10th, 2022, and is brought to you by the letter F for Fuck Whitey. That's right, Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Okay, I did something slightly different. I started out the show with a shot of Hennessy, because according to Tupac, take a shot of Hennessy and I'm strong enough to face the madness. And it also used to be a tradition I used to do for myself before I go on stage. Every show, when I'd have a show, I would go to the bar and ask the bartender for Hennessy and make a big stink out of the fact when they didn't have any Hennessy and say, hey, that's racism. Anyway, whatever. But yeah, I would have a shot before every show that I would do. And it just, you know, ça chauffait le cœur. Ça chauffe le cœur. Pour vous, les anglophones, it means it warms up the heart. And yeah, and so I think that's going to be my thing. That and taking pictures at every show. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Another thing too is, what time is it? Okay, we're 3 minutes in. So I have this thing where I like to keep my episodes like an hour long, not longer than an hour, not an hour long, but so I tried this new thing is where I took notes of what I wanted to say. See, the thing is, I don't know what I'm going to say until I say it. It's kind of weird. And I don't know what I'm going to say until I say it. And so I'm trying to see if, you know, putting things down on paper works out. Now, I did say it at the beginning on the first episode, or on the the manifesto episode, where I was going to stop treating the audience like the chick I'm trying to bang and just be my honest self and, you know, love me or leave me alone. Part of me trying to keep it within a specific time limit is me trying to respect your time as a listener. But some of my favorite podcasts, specifically The Black Guy Who Tips. I remember the first few episodes that I used to listen to, it's probably episode 300. They're like in the thousands now, but episode 300, and they were reading a comment from a listener who's complaining about how their shows were too long. And I forget the detail of the conversation, but it pretty much ended with Rod being like the host, one of the hosts, the main host of the podcast, saying, you know, go fuck yourself. I'm paraphrasing, right? But it's like, look, man, this is how we do things. This is basically love me or leave me the fuck alone. So, I'm caught between two things. Is in Toastmasters, we learn how to, they instill the habit of respecting the time of your listeners. But on the other end is when you got shit to say, you know, like in certain churches, my dad used to have the saying is like he would go to certain churches and you know, it's not like Catholic churches. Like, yeah, they tell you it ends at 3 o'clock. But if the spirit takes you, then, you know, who are you to impose a time limit on the motherfucking Holy Spirit? You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, what's funny about this portion of the conversation is how I'm now at 5 minutes. I don't know how much time I've used to talk about how I want to stay within the limit of the podcast, but I'm not sure I will. But and whatever. I'm gonna. It is what it is. Cause I'm reminding myself, these few episodes that I'm doing is more for myself than it is for the audience. And if you happen to be an audience member, you know, who's like, hey man, keep going, man, preach, brother, preach. Then, you know, Be Black loves you. All right. Okay. Okay, like I said, this is the aggressive agenda item. Yo, I'm struggling on a title for this episode. Part of me was thinking of calling it the Rogers outage and the white man's fear of a black planet. And then lie to you about how by the end of this episode, I will have explained how the recent Roger outage is directly related to the white man's fear of a black planet, to the white man's fear of a black penis. And then by the end of the episode, I was going to say, look, I only said I was going to try to do it. I didn't do it. You know, that was going to be like, you know, like those clickbait. It was going to be a clickbait episode. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not sure what the title of this episode is. I have a few ideas. What I'm going to call it. But my point is, the first item on the agenda is Rogers outage and deleting production data. Can I admit, I'm going to admit to you that one of my favorite parts about podcasting again is thinking about what am I going to call the next episode. I actually enjoy thinking about it. Sometimes it might be a rap verse. Sometimes it might just be a crazy thought. Sometimes it might just be what, but I just love thinking about that title and whether it's going to be relevant or irrelevant. Hey, one title suggestion might be Shit Is Real in Sri Lanka, because it's an agenda item. It's one of the things that I'm going to cover on later in the show. But yeah, I'll get back to you on this one. Okay. All right. Okay. Rogers outage and deleting data. Okay. Let's start out by saying that for those who don't know, I don't know when you're listening to this, but apparently 25% of Canada, like a shitload of Canadians, were affected by an outage, by a network outage at Rogers. Now, for those of you who don't know, Rogers is one of our telecom companies. I guess in the Caribbean, you guys have... Fuck, I was trying to sound smart, but I forgot the name of... I'm going to blame the Hennessy shot. I can't remember the... Digicel. There we go. Right. So in the States, y'all got AT&T. Well, we got Rogers. Rogers. And the thing in Canada is our telecom company, they're like a motherfucking monopoly. Like, I think there's only like three companies at the top. Rogers, Telus, and Bell. There might be others, but... Oh, it's shot. Whatever. But no one gives a fuck. And then there's a whole bunch of people who resell their, like, I don't know how, I'm like, this is not a business class, but the three major companies, and one of them went down, Rogers, on Friday morning. And apparently it was like 4:44 a.m. when the actual outage happened. I discovered the outage at 5 a.m. in the morning. It's kind of funny. See, I have this thing where, why I discovered the outage is, see, I have this thing where my sleep sucks. I tend to wake up every 1 to 2 hours during the night. I used to think it was to go to the bathroom, but really I think it's my sleep apnea. Doesn't matter. But I woke up at around 5 a.m. and usually what I do is I go to bed with the sound of the television in the background. Can't explain it. It just works out for me. What happened this time is I have this application on this program on my phone, actually recommended by my therapist, and it was called the Headstrong. Is that what it's called? Headspace? I should have researched this before. Headspace, that's what it's called. And it just sends like gets you into meditation and whatever. It's funny, I pay for the account, but I rarely use it, even though it's very useful. Like, it's trying to get me into relaxing and meditating. Anyways, they have this one particular channel where it's dedicated to helping you go back to sleep. And it's kind of funny how 5 in the morning, wake up, go to the washroom and come back. And then I decide to put on Headspace, and Headspace is not cooperating. So what the fuck's going on? And I'm not sure at what point did I notice that the logo on my phone, the one that says, hey, something's wrong with your internet connection, was wrong. But I remember getting up and realizing that, oh, router's fucked up. And so I rebooted my router, rebooted the modem like I usually do at 5 in the motherfucking morning, trying to get back to sleep. Like, there's a thing with me. If my router goes down, I lose. Fuck what you're doing. I got to get that shit going. Whatever, right? So I do my usual troubleshooting and realize that nothing's working. And I remember telling myself, fucking tech savvy is fucking with me on the... like blaming it on tech savvy. So I went back to bed. Oh, and I stuck to traditional radio to go back to bed. So that is the extent of how I suffered during this outage. And I want full compensation for that shit. But that's not the point. The point is me recognizing that the internet was down. So I'm one of the people who... So go back to bed to the sound of the radio. No one talks about... The only thing on the radio that they talked about was how, in the news, like, there was no mention of the outage at 5 in the morning, but they did say how the former Japanese prime minister was assassinated. And my first thought, because I'm paranoid like that, I'm like, we're at motherfucking war. We're at war. This is like that dude that they shot at... because I'm bad with names. The dude they shot World War One, who was assassinated, and it led to World War One. That's exactly what's going on. We're under motherfucking attack. Anyways, KB, stick to the script here. I'm going off script right now. What I'm talking about. Yeah. Long story short, I remember finally going back to bed, thinking that okay, the country must be at war, because that's how my mind works. I go to the extreme like that. Finally, I wake up at 7 during my usual time, getting ready to go to bed, and then hook up with the homie Jay, because we usually go on walks in the morning. Man, I'm getting very detailed right now. Yeah, we go on walks, and I remember the look on her face going, yo! Okay, I'm paraphrasing because she doesn't talk like that, but the look on her face was like, the network is down, school is out, recess time. Because she had some work she had to do, and... and whatever. Right, because she was listening to some other radio station, and they said that, yeah, network's out. Something's wrong with Rogers, and we had nothing about, and whatever. Yeah, so network was out, which was kind of fucked up, which meant that, brace yourself, I couldn't work that day. Okay, no, actually, my work phone was working, assholes, and we got a message. I was able to check my email, got a message from the boss saying, hey, there's a major outage in our country. But you can use your work phone as for tethering. I can't pronounce the word, but basically as a hotspot, as your modem, but watch your data usage. I'm like, dude, of course I didn't tell him that, but I'm reading the email going, dude, either I use it or I don't use it. You can't have me connect to the internet and constantly measuring how much data I'm using. I'm like, fuck that, man. That's more work than you pay me to do. Anyways, yeah. So, but really what he was just trying to say is, if you have important things to do today that involves connecting to the network, use your phone, but be mindful. Be mindful that you're using our data plan, and net motherfucker ain't infinite. So, yeah, all this to say that I kind of had an easygoing day that day. But I'm going off topic. Really what I want to focus on is like the aftermath now, because as you can tell, this shit is restored because I was able to upload. Like I was worried this shit was going to take on a full weekend. But I went on the message board. I'm like, I follow, I'm on Reddit, SysAdmin. And someone went into the details of what went wrong. Because a whole 12 hours to fix this. Oh, no, how long did it take? Like, my internet was restored the next on Saturday. So the outage was on 4 in the morning, Friday. And Friday, Saturday afternoon, it was restored. By the way, thank you for all of you who sent your thoughts and prayers. I know there's a war in Ukraine, but what the fuck? Come on. We lost internet, man. You know, I had to go on my hard drive to find content to consume, like music to listen to and movies to rewatch. By the way, shout out to Guy Ritchie for making the movie Snatch. You can never go wrong rewatching Snatch. Anyways, yeah. But my point is, I had to find content. I couldn't go on Twitter to talk shit on the internet. It was hard. It was hard. That's what I'm trying to say. It was a struggle, man. Thank you for your thoughts and prayers. Anyway, so, yeah, I'm on the message boards to figure out what happened. And so word is, apparently, some update was applied. Some regular network maintenance happened. Like, you just, you know, updates. I'm not going to go into the details, but long story short, I'm not going to say someone fucked up, but I'm going to say that a regular maintenance thingy was supposed to happen, and it caused the whole Roger network, the entire network, to disappear from the internet. I don't know. If you're familiar with BGP protocol, Border Gateway Protocol. Fuck that, man. If you took computer science, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. But something in that area fucked up in that part. Basically, the part that tells... See, because my ISP is with Rogers... Actually, it's with Tech Savvy, but Tech Savvy releases line from Rogers, the way I understand it. But my point is, they depend on Rogers for their internet connection. That's the point. So... the main gateway that on the internet that tells Rogers that, hey, I'm out here. This is how you find me. Yo, or hey, B-Black is trying to watch porn right now. So the part that sends out the request, actually, no, I think it's the part that sends out the request works. It's the part that comes back that didn't work to say, can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? But in this case, it's how to get to Rogers Network. Yeah, that part. That one person used the analogy of take off all the street signs, get rid of all the street signs, and try to find my house. Well, if you don't know how to find my place, if you've never been to my place and you have no street signs as reference, it's gonna be difficult. It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. But yeah, okay, but. I wasn't worried at the technical dilty. Like, I didn't want to find out the technical dilty. I want to know who fucked up. That's what I want to know. Like, you know, fuck the technical difficulties. I want to know. Like, for one, please don't let it be a black guy. Oh, dear God. Please, Jesus. No, okay. You know, there's many reasons why this could have failed. Why this, like, because this is like a fuck up upon fuck. This is like the Titanic sinking kind of shit. Like, oops. Like, there's an engineer going, oops, at this point. Like, I want to know who the engineer is, and I really hope he's not black. But my point is, yeah, someone fucked up. I want to believe, because I'm joining the whole fuck Rogers, Roger outer shaming Rogers for this difficult. Like, I'm joining that mob, you know, because I see Rogers like the greedy executive. So, I want to believe that there's a greedy executive going, ah, 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 Look at all the money we save. Fuck Christmas. Ha, 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 ha. I hope those orphans starve. Fuck that. Like, I want to believe, like, there's, like, this shit can all be traced back to one greedy executive who made the decision, a la Trump, who decided to get rid of all the measures to get rid of to protect themselves from viruses. Like, they say, man, fuck, we need backups for it, man. Fuck that. Put that shit on a floppy disk and shit like that. Like, I want to believe that there's a greedy executive out there who said, nah, we need to save money. Fuck these fallback measures, to protect ourselves. Fuck all these safeguards. Fuck, we need a safe. Fuck, this car need a seatbelt for. Why do I need what do you call that? The bags there. What do you call those bags? Shit, yo. Okay, this might be the last time I drink Hennessy before a show because I can't remember. What do you call those? Oh my god, I'm not gonna Google this, but. Shout out to the listeners listening to me who know exactly what I'm talking about, but my brain is not cooperating right now. Anyways, some executive came in and said, hey, we need to cut the budget of IT by 50% because I want my motherfucking bonus. And somewhere there's one black guy who said, but sir, we can't. It might create a very dangerous outage. And the guy said, fuck you, nigger. That's why they pay me 6-digit salary. As you can tell, this is like hashtag awfully specific. Like, yes, I want to believe that there's a B-Black out there who warned this 6-digit salary-making executive that, hey, if we do what you want me to do, we're going to get in trouble. And this guy said, fuck you, nigger. Just fucking do it or you're fired. And he did it. And now, fast forward to Friday morning, B-Black, I can't, the whole internet is out. The whole internet for 25%, a whole shitload of Canadians is out. It's not just the internet. Okay, the internet was out, but what people don't understand is Interact was out. Telephone was out. You couldn't even make a fucking phone. Yo, when my Wi-Fi goes down, I usually depend on cellular data. That was out. I was talking to my parents. To my dad. He uses this thing called Magic Jack to use the telephone. We got rid of our landline. I'm not sure if landline was affected, but he needs the internet to make phone calls. That shit was out. That outage reminded me of I used to be a technician at the church. And every time at a concert, you'd always get one motherfucker. You know what? I don't care if they listen to this podcast. I doubt it, but whatever. But I'm going to take myself some... Je me permet. Like, I'm going to permit myself. You'd always have some motherfucker who's supposed to perform on stage, and their instrumental is on YouTube. So they're like, hey, I'm going to connect... Can I connect my phone to your aux? Do you have an aux cable for my phone? And load this shit off YouTube. And I'm like, motherfucker. Because what's going to happen is when the music stops, doesn't play, they're not going to say, oh, great musician on stage, it's your fault. No, they're going to blame the sound technician, the black sound technician, for why shit ain't working. Yes, and whatever. It would drive me nuts on all these people who depended, who had so much faith in a network, in YouTube. You're going on stage, like, give me a motherfucking CD. Give me a mother... No, we didn't have a cassette player back then. But, you know, give me a CD that I can hit play. Give me something that's downloaded for me to play. Don't stream your shit off. You can't trust the white man in this network. That's my point. That's really where this is going. Whatever, right? So, I've gotten on topic again. How you can't... All this shit went down... And it kind of fucked, like, there's, like, discussions going on about, yo, Canadian government needs to get into this because this shit can happen. Like, a lot of, we don't talk about how, just dropped my water bottle because I don't know if it's a Haitian thing, but us Haitians, we, like, express ourselves like Italians, and there's a lot of hand movement, and I happen to knock off a water bottle while expressing myself. Am I sorry? Not at all. All right. Okay. Where was I? Yes. Network going down and people impacted. Like one person who was impacted by the most. Like I'm not thinking of the people who the loss of revenues. I don't know. For some reason, I can't relate to the business owner who lost money. I can probably relate to like if you're like if you got content on OnlyFans and that outage cost you money. Yeah. Fuck. Thoughts and prayers. Like sincere thoughts and prayers. But one story that really got to me is this one individual apparently had a interview set up for that day on that Friday. And he tried to message the interviewer to say, hey, look, is there another way we can do this interview? Because network is down. I don't know how this person managed to message them, but they did that. And they got back to him and say, sorry, we can only do interviews on this day. So fuck you in this interview. So basically, the outage cost them a job. People were hurting. I'm just saying I could relate to, but people were drastically affected by this outage. It's kind of fucked up. Like I can't, like for me, it was a day off from work unofficially. I mean, if my boss is listening to this, no, I spent my day documenting, doing a lot of shit, doing a lot of documentation, writing documentation. I kept myself busy. Bullshit. Anyway, yeah, but I'm saying for me it was a day off, but for some people it was like, ouch, this shit hurt. So that's why I want to believe in the greedy executive that needs to be blamed for what just happened. But then I started to think about how in my career in IT, in my extensive years, what, 20 years plus? I forget how long I've been in IT. But there was a time when I was in my early days of IT where I deleted production data. Shout out to the nerds who understand what I'm talking about. Production data. So production is, how do I explain that to you motherfucking lames? Production is like the machine that holds the information that you use for like the actual information. Okay. When you go to use your interact, okay, well, it stores your bank information. It stores, you know, your address and all that shit. Basically, all the information you need to use Interact Machine, how much money this person has in their account. Yeah, that's called production data. The data you need to work with, your customer needs to be able to do what they need to do. Right. So in this case, this production data wasn't like Interact Machine, but it was just more like... doesn't matter, okay? But my point is, I was in charge of synchronizing three databases together. The way it's done is kind of fucking corny. It was actually a stupid system, the more I think about it, but I won't go into, I can make a whole episode about this system, but it involved me synchronizing, going to three different environments, collecting their data, and consolidating them. Is that the word? Like, and combining them into one database. Had to be done manually. Well, in the process of doing this, what happened is to do this, I have to run these scripts, to do, like, it's all automated. And I accidentally ran the script that consolidates the information. Like, I was supposed to run an extract script, but instead I loaded the insert script, the one inserts all the information as opposed to extract. And how that happened, I'm not sure what I told my boss. I'm sure it was a lie, probably something more sophisticated, but really it was me and this other person who was in the room. We were just talking shit about, because it was probably a Friday, and about how, yeah, I'm getting laid this weekend. I wasn't getting laid this weekend, but you know, we were just talking about, yeah, all the shit we were doing this weekend and not paying attention to what I was doing. I ran the wrong script. Long story short, I ended up deleting production data. Bro, I remember looking at that computer, looking at what's being executed on the screen, like, wait, that doesn't look like the extract, like you're extracting information. That looks like you're deleting. That looks like you're putting old information into the new system. That's not good. I remember homeboy is talking about how, you know, his weekend and how he's planning on getting laid, and the look on my face must have been really weird because he stopped and being like, you okay? I'm like, but yeah, but because this is my poker face. I'm panicking, going, oh shit, I fucked up. Anyways, and at the time I wasn't laughing. Today I can laugh at this shit because it was like years ago, like 20 decades ago this happened, right? But yeah, I can laugh at this shit. And turns out, by the way, for all you people listening to this and going, you deleted production data, aren't you an idiot? Like, anyone who's worked in IT for a long time has a story about how they fucked up. Like, no one walks on water. Like, some of these mistakes lead to something positive. This is where this story is actually going. Whatever, right? So, but I remember looking at that screen, realizing what I did. And my next step was, I can't remember. I must have called my boss, sent the message in advance, because this is so funny. Because I'm trying to explain the story without going into too much details, but it involves having to take the elevator to face the music, to be like, what do we, hey, this is what B Black did. B Black deleted. I had to go face my boss, and I remember having to take an elevator and going into the elevator to face my boss. And I guess I must have notified people, and word got around that what B Black did. Because I remember walking into this elevator, and a coworker, she was like high up. She was like one of the, she was like a manager. And sorry, I'm laughing. And the look on this white woman's face, it was a look. Okay, before I got into the elevator, okay, after realizing how I fucked up, because I grew up in an environment of you fuck up, you gotta be punished. There is no forgiveness. Like, I was expecting these white folks to be like, this is what we get for hiring a black guy. This is a fuck. We fucked up, man. We knew it. Fucking affirmative action. We got fucked by hiring you. What? Like, my brain was not on my side. Like, I think a part of me expected to be like, okay, on the post, buddy. On the post, Blackie. And, you know, and get whipped. Like, I felt like a slave who fucked up. And he was going to get whipped for his action. I remember feeling like shit, like this is the end. I didn't think I was going to die, but I did feel like there was going to be a shitload of pain for my mistake. I might even get fired, but I remember on the trip to go and see my boss, the idea of just don't do it. Just run away. Just fucking run away. Move to a different city. Change your name. And find Jesus, whatever, but, you know, but the idea of just running away, not facing the music, crossed my mind. But I'm like, I don't know. I do remember being fucking scared of the outcome, like, scared of the outcome and angry at myself for the mistake. Of course, I'm beating myself up for, like, fuck, B, what the fuck were you thinking? Jesus Christ. Ah, you ain't shit, man. Like, look. I beat myself up on the littlest thing. Hold on. Let me make sure I'm recording. Okay, I am recording. Yeah, sometimes I forget to hit the record button because I beat myself up on the littlest thing. It could be like, whatever. Like, oh, like how I dropped my water bottle earlier on. Because I'm recording, I'm not angry at myself, but but something like that. But this was like an epic proportion. Like, I was expecting to have these white folks use the N-word and beat me on a pole, and then have my parents show up with their belt to be like, tu nous embarrasses de ces blancs, you know, in front of these white folks. Do you do this in front of these white folks after they trusted us? Bang, 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 bang. You know what I mean? And my grandparents and all my relatives to diss me. Yeah. So I remember getting into the elevator and the look on that white woman's face. It was a combination of, yeah, I heard. Because she smiled. It was a smile combined with, you homie, you fucked up. But it ain't the end of the world. That's the part that I got from that look on her face was, yeah, you fucked up. But contrary to what you're telling yourself, it ain't the end of the world. There was something very, I'm not going to say her name, but she had this lady has no idea. The look on her face of, now we're not going to beat you. So. Like, the look on her face just told me that whatever worst nightmare is going on in your head is not what's going to happen. So there was kind of some reassurance. That's why I'm laughing. The look on her face. This woman has no idea how reassuring that look on her face was to me. So finally, I go see my boss. And what amazed me, because it was a beautiful experience for me, because I'm so used on you fuck up, you're punished. It's the Haitian way, because Haitians beat their kids when they fuck up, because you know, apparently it's supposed to help you not fuck up. But nah, it just makes you scared of fucking up. Anyway, but I remember being in that room, and it was like, okay, no one denied that it was a fuck up, but it wasn't like what... What got me is no one was like playing the blame game. That's what shocked the hell out of me. It was like, okay, spilt milk, clean things up. In the end of the ordeal, these people, I don't know. I don't know what happened. Okay, after I explained myself and what happened, blah, blah, blah. I didn't get whipped. I didn't get beaten. I still got my job. They still, you know, I didn't get fired. I was expecting a trip to the HR and beat it. Hey, give us your ID. You'll never work in this town again. No, it was like an acknowledgement of the situation. And they said, it felt like we'll take care of it. God bless that situation. I remember believing I'm going to die. Like this was going to be the end. I'm going to have to like sell drugs from now on or join a gang, whatever. But it was like, we'll take care of it. Now, I don't know what happened next. But I do know these white folks managed to flip the situation in it was kind of like, again, I'm not sure of the details, but it kind of felt like, hey, this is what it's your fault. You guys paid for the bronze package. Here's why you should have bought the gold package. Okay, now they're not saying I'm the bronze package. Basically, one thing that we found out is my mistake led to everyone realizing that there was no backup system. We've told them that, hey, you should have a backup system, but someone decided, fuck a backup system, whatever. Fuck, we need a backup system, whatever. It's shit like that there. But my mistake led them to realizing, oh, shit, we are not prepared for this shit. Like, okay. There was no backup system. It was kind of like, you know, it's kind of weird that they never had it, but they never, it's kind of like getting in a car accident and realizing there was no seatbelts in the car. The manufacturer fucked up. But it was, they were able to take my mistake and turn it into a learning experience to like, okay, from now on, we do this. Like, I'm told when, what year was it? The space shuttle exploded. It might've been in 85. I forget, but I remember taking this electronics course and how after the space shuttle exploded, how the first thing they did, these nerds at NASA did is, everyone, pull out your motherfucking notebooks. We're going to figure out what went wrong and take it from there. So it was like that kind of experience. Yo, for me, it was a learning experience because my mistake led to a learning experience. There was no beating people, person down, which I was expecting. There was no name calling, no blame game. It was like, okay, we acknowledge the situation. Now let's clean up. Milk spilt. Okay, from now on, put the milk on the first shelf. And it was just repairing. And it got to the point that these guys were bragging about how, because I remember saying, yo, I thought I was dead. It was like, ah, man, that's not how business works. We move on. We move on. Yeah, I knew I was going to go over my limit with this shit. I might make a second podcast. Doesn't matter. Anyway, yeah, so, but I really needed to tell this story about, yeah, that time I deleted data and it led to a learning experience, like one to finding out that, oh, what do you mean you don't have a backup system? The fuck you? What kind of fucking chicken shit organization are you running over here? Get a backup system going. Yeah, whatever. So I think my mistake led to them being able to charge the client more. Go figure. For being fucking amateurs. Because I really can't remember why I told them how I made the mistake. I mean, I guess it was an easy mistake to make because, you know, export, import. both finish with the letter P-O-R-T or whatever. But yeah, when we, as a developer, as a programmer, when you write programs, you actually factor in that the person who's writing this program might be a complete idiot. So you take responsibility and put in some fail safes, some safeguards and shit like that there. But yeah, man. So I guess I'm saying on one end, because I hate Rogers as a corporation, because I'm a broke like that, and I want someone to be punished. But on the other end is I think about the human being who, okay, two things. Either someone's responsible for it, either someone didn't listen, and they landed in the trouble that, like, if that's the situation, yeah, hang that motherfucker. But if it's a situation where it's like, oops, like an innocent mistake, you know, it might even be complicated. It might be a combination of innocent mistake combined with, hey, how the hell did I, what makes you think, like, yeah, who knows? But I'm really interested in hearing the details of what went wrong. What did I say? Do I want to, yeah. It also had me thinking about, because I complain, I find myself complaining a lot about my job, how it's like meaningless. But it has me thinking, do I want the kind of job where if I make a mistake, if I don't watch what I do, people lose jobs, people lose revenues, people, like, do I want to be like the top dog that when you fuck up, people go hungry? You know what I mean? Like, I'm watching this documentary on the Pearl Harbor. And the series, like, this goes into details. Like, there's a huge documentary on Netflix. And it just goes into details, like, decisions that were made. Like, okay, one, how the Japanese managed to have this project of surprise attack on the Americans. And not to play, I'm not playing the blame game, but some decisions that when the planes were coming in, how this one guy who dismissed it as, it's just a practice run. Like, there was a few mistakes on the American side where they were like, them Japs ain't going to attack us. And surprise! Blah, 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 blah. Anyways, whatever. But, like, making those kind, like, hello? Oh, man, my headphone's tripping. Yeah, making those kinds of mistakes. Yeah, I can't, like, do I want those kind of jobs? I mean, on one end, yeah, I want those, like, high-paying jobs that I can go to the bar and tell some girls that, hey, I'm in charge for the moon landing, you know, because chicks dig that shit. But do I want the headache that comes with it? I don't know. Heavy lies the crown, whatever that expression is. But, yeah. I'm kind of hoping in the end, like, even though I'm, like, holding on to pitchfork, in the end, we learn from this mistakes, which brings me to my next topic. Damn, be a whole 40 minutes on the first topic, which brings me to my next topic of this week in therapy. Okay, hold on. I'm having some technical difficulties. I'm going to have to change my headphones. Hold on a second. Yeah, okay. You probably couldn't tell, but I had to change the batteries in my headphones because it was going in and out. All right. This week in therapy. I guess I'm going to start, I acknowledge that I'm going to go over my limit for this episode. And shout out to all you listeners, because to that one listener who decided to hang in there. But yeah, I kind of hope there was a takeaway from the fuck up, the past fuck up. But yeah, okay. This week in therapy, I start with the line, it actually was the two things I'm going to explain is inspired me to believe that I am doing the right thing with this podcast and putting myself out there. Now, initially, before the outage, this podcast was going to focus on The Power of Vulnerability by Brené Brown. And I'm realizing that it was a TED Talk by Brené Brown. Am I pronouncing her name properly? Brené Brown? Brené? Anyways, it's spelled like Brené, so I'm adding the word B, so I think it's Brené Brown. Brené Brown? White people, I mean, English people might say Brené Brown, but I'm saying Brené Brown. Anyway, so she's got a TED Talk called The Power of Vulnerability. And I remember the first time seeing that title, the very first time, before like, this is just like I call it my unenlightened days. During the Old Testament version of Be Black. First time I saw that title, I remember telling myself, fuck, great. Another woman telling us is going to tell me how I need to get in touch with my feminine side, or who's going to tell me how I need to be a little bitch. And then I heard the TED Talk and realized that, damn, there was a lot to gain from this thing. But I'm not going to, I'm likely to dedicate a whole episode on my takeaway from her talk on TED Talk. But I'm going to focus on one line that hit me the most. And this is after re-listening to this TED Talk, because I gained a lot from it. And there's a part where she says, she talks about these people called the wholehearted. People who have a strong sense of love and belonging believe they are worthy of love and belonging. I'm just going to, if you're like me, you're going to need some time before you can think about the power of vulnerability, before you can think about putting yourself out there, before you can think about being the wholehearted or getting your life right, and wondering whether you might be in the category of human beings who cannot get themselves to believe that they're worthy of anything good. I used to know this atheist, and he was a staunch atheist. Couldn't tell him shit about, he didn't want to hear shit about God or why people have faith. Like, to him, it was just pure stupid. But what's interesting about this person is the one time, the only thing he was, the closest you could get him to consider the possibility of a higher power is if this higher power hated him and just was cursing him. That's the only time he was able to believe in. So what I'm saying is, I need to think about that part where she says, the people who have a strong sense of love and belonging believe they are worthy of that love and belonging. I'll be honest with you, and sometimes I actually blame Christianity. Okay, no, I feel like Christianity's to blame for this shit. I was raised, it's funny how I could get myself to believe in some white Jewish with blonde hair and blue eye, white Jew, blonde hair and blue eye, carpenter, who was born of a virgin birth and died for my sins. Walked on water, turned water into wine, was able to resurrect the dead from the dead to the living, resurrected after 3 days, has an angry daddy who he's also the daddy who created Earth. Like, I was born, raised to believe in that shit, but never the idea of believing that I could be worthy of love and belonging. Now, usually I get approached by, if I say that out loud, I get approached by some person who's well-meaning will say, no, you're worthy, but they don't understand the part that's able to believe that shit is broken. So I think I'm going to, instead of going into giving some deep dive into the power of vulnerability, in other words, putting yourself out there, I'm just going to, before I can get to talking about that, I'm going to get myself to try to believe or work on that part in me that's able to believe that I am worthy. That's where I'm stuck on right now. Defectiveness in my mind. And there's nothing you will be able to tell me that will get me to believe. It's one of those things that I need to see for myself, believe for myself. It's kind of like if you see in The Matrix, that scene in The Matrix where Morpheus tries to convince Neo that he's the one, and he's like, I don't see it, man. I don't believe in that mumbo jumbo voodoo shit or faith in shit like that there, man. And I love that line from The Matrix where Morpheus tells him, sooner or later, Neo, you're gonna realize there's a difference between how's it say again? Knowing the path and walking the path. So yes, I do know I need to believe I'm worthy. I just don't know how to do that. That's my malfunctions. This is the version of Be Black you're listening to on July 7th, 2022. July 10th, right now. Right now, he's like struggling with the ability to believe in being worthy of love and belonging. Yeah, I know it bothers me saying it because I feel like fishing for compliments, fishing for, oh no, poor you. No, that's nothing like that. Like it's anyways, admittance of guilt. So I'm gonna jump to the next topic what I wrote is I said, my therapist asked me a question and it had me think, and it goes, if it can happen, okay, stick to the script, B. It goes, if it can happen for others, why can't it happen for you? Okay, I'll explain what that question goes through, but I wrote this line of, you know, it'd be really cool to go and piggyback on my the topic of Rogers' outage. Is Rogers was a human being, right? And chose to be honest on what led to the outage, what caused that outage that affected so many Canadians, because if it could just be being honest and just saying, look, either one of our exec fucked up, one of our tech person fucked up, we fucked up, or whatever. Can explain a situation that allows the rest of us to learn from it. Because apparently what a lot of people have been saying is that outage is very similar to something that happened on Facebook. And it took a whole day to fix the problem. But no, I mean, you know, Rogers is a corporation and they can get sued for, they're liable for this fuck up. So they're likely going to say they're probably going to find a scapegoat. They're likely going to find a scapegoat. They're likely going to tell us some superficial thing like, who knows? But whatever they're going to say is, yeah, we know you people are bad, so we're going to say something that won't get us in trouble, which is going to be an unfortunate. I mean, if I was in their shoes, like if I'm the exec working at Rogers, yeah, I'm not admitting fucking fault. I would do the same thing. But okay, off topic, whatever, right? I guess I'm just trying to say this is what this podcast is all about, where I'm able to articulate my mistakes or my shortcomings, but not in a way where I'm fishing for compliments. It's just in a way where if someone else is going through the same thing, they could, one, acknowledge that, okay, I'm not alone, and B, okay, what B Black did to overcome this mistake or this shortcoming might work for me, or this is the way I did it, whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's like learning from each other's weakness. So along that same line, the second item I had on the This Week in Therapy is, I gotta send a shout out to my homie, Trevor Thompson. Thomas? Yeah, Thompson, sorry. He's got a podcast out there called The Padcast, Trevor's Padcast. And it's actually, yeah, no, it's on my regular rotation of podcasts to listen to. I'm enjoying it. It's like listening, the way I would describe it is like, he recently moved to Montreal and he's been doing comedy for a while, and he's not a household name, but that's what he would, the objective is to be the kind of comic that, he's trying to be another big man. He's trying to be a George Carlin. I don't know who his idol is, but he would love to see a day that comedy pays his bills as opposed to have to do a regular 9-to-5. And it's, The thing about his podcast is, it's not just what he says. It's more about who he is. And I don't think he sees, okay, yeah, it's about who he is that makes it fascinating. It's like, I'm rooting for the guy. I don't know what it is about this human being, but he just happens to, yeah, he's white, go figure. Yeah, he happens to just fall on the list of human beings who, after you meet him, you just root for their success. That's what it is. And listen to his podcast. It's just a 30, unlike me, he respects the his time limit. It's 30 minutes. And it's just like catching up with an old friend who moved to Montreal and is trying to make it into the French comedy cycle. Actually, just trying to make it into comedy, period. But he'll take the French or English, the whatever, and stuff like that. And yeah, he talks about his ups and downs, his struggles. But the part that gets me the most about his show, about his podcast, or his about his content, is how it shocks me. I'm wondering, it's like, how does a white man like himself have a lower self-esteem than I do? I'm not trying to be disrespectful in saying that, is that the one thing that him and I have in common, like he beats himself down. He's got a low esteem of himself. Like, he pretty, but his negative voice could make an album with my negative voice. He says the same shit about himself that I say about myself. But he keeps going. It's like, yeah, no, he's not the superstar comedian that he wants to be. But what he does have is like the respect of a comedy community. Like, you know, if you say his name, he's like one of those list of comedians that you, okay, like, I want to be clear that I'm not throwing smoke under his skirt, whatever, right? But it's just, he's like one of those comedians that when you find out you're doing a show with him, you're looking forward to it. It's like a bonus. Okay, I'm not going to get paid for this shit, but at least I'm going to be surrounded by comics that I know I'm going to have a good time with. You know, okay, yeah. And, yeah, I guess I like, okay, going back to my question of what's interesting about his, of if it can happen for them, why can't it happen for you? So I listened to his show, and I'm rooting for the guy. I wouldn't be surprised if you know, it's just, he's just like one episode of way of making it, or one show away of going big. Like, I could see it for him more than I could see it for myself. It's so weird. It's like when he beats himself down, I want to jump in to say like, no, yo, you're not that bad. I want to jump in and be like, no, whatever. But I'm willing to do for him what I'm not willing to do for myself. So that's why I'm not going to preach to the dude. I'm not going to about how you need to have a positive outlook. Nah, we're fucking the same. We're very similar. His inner thoughts that he puts out loud are very similar to my inner thoughts. I'm joking about, you know, white man having a lower self-esteem. Well, I mean, it kind of, like, in my mind, I'm like, how do you have all these advantages and not feel so, not feel jipper about life? And it's just, nah, I guess, okay, this is what I think life is. I think life has raised a whole bunch of us to believe that we don't deserve the good things in life. No, only everyone else, not us. Fuck you, you're God's curse, you're God's bitch. God, you know, God created you so he can fuck with you. That's what life is. And it's interesting to hear him talk the same way I talk about myself, but he's still going on. But I have like more, what's the word? What's that word? It's like my inner cheerleader is working harder for him than it is for me. I'm trying to work on that. It's like, again, I guess what I like about his overall, what I like about his podcast, aside from just catching up with a friend, it's like seeing him in myself. Like, we're both on a journey to being better than the version behind us. Am I saying that right? Yeah. Turning yesterday and making brighter yesterday. But yeah, whatever. Okay, yeah. What I'm trying to say. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to add this, you know, his podcast in the list of reference of podcasts that I reference in the show, and go check him out. It's worth listening, and send him some feedback. I mean, some positive feedback. Not in the sense of it's kind of like, there's another podcast that I also listen to called The Righteous Prick. One, it's a solo episode. Person records by themselves. And two, it's recording by themselves. And two, it's by a comedian. And three, this comedian also believes it's so J.L. Covan. Hey, by the way, he's half Haitian. Yeah, J.L. Covan. And he also, like, is trying to make it. And the adversity is, like, fucking with him. It's taking a toll on his spirit. And that's what it's hearing a comic going through their struggles. You know, like, a lot of people just see, like, the outer shell. Like, when they see, like, I don't know if Kevin Hart went through these episodes, or maybe, like, sometimes when I look at Kevin Hart, he just looks like the kind of person who's always, like, I like Kanye West, always has always believed in himself and just made it, put in all the work. But I'm thinking of the comedians who are, like, spend most of the time thinking, what the fuck am I doing? This shit is not going to work. Like, there is no promised land. I'm just full of shit. I'm just wasting time. I'm going to be the guy who, or the comedian who doesn't make it. Like, just like, adversity is just kicking your ass. That's who I get my inspirational take from. The people struggling, like, struggling. The people who are able to believe that they're worthy of love, belonging, and all the good shit that life has to offer. I can't relate to that. I wish I could, but that's not how I was not made. All right, I'm going to skip this one, but okay. I'm going to play this next clip. I call this, this is more of a break for me, but it's like, I call it a TikTok clip break. And by Simplifying Sam, and we'll get back to you. It's like 3 minutes, but bear with me. This also, like, gives you a break from hearing my voice here. All right, here we go.
So, do you actually love yourself, or do you just love the idea of yourself? Allow me to explain. If you love the idea of yourself, then what you are constantly doing is trying to bolster your sense of self through achievement, your physical form, the relationships in your life. You are constantly looking to call in more to make yourself seem bigger so that you can like this idea of who you are. You're someone who makes this much amount of money. You're someone who has this many friends. You're someone who, you know, works out this many times a week. And if you consistently maintain that idea, then and only then will you access this feeling of love for yourself, or almost even like admiration. But that kind of love is conditional. And in my opinion, conditional love, it's just not love. It's attention seeking and egoic and very easy to damage. And so easily slips away as soon as you don't work out for a week, as soon as you don't eat healthy, or you gain 10 pounds, or the relationship dissolves, or you don't make as much money 1 year, then all of a sudden that sense of self and that love is gone. If you really love yourself, then what you are saying or what you are embodying is, no matter what, I got my own back. I love me. I love how I move through life. I love how I learn mistakes. I love how many things I'm interested in. I love those little things like walking on a rainy day to the coffee shop and just like listening to a folklore Taylor Swift song. Like, I just love that about me. And when you make less money, or when friends leave your life, or when you gain 5 pounds, you're like, that's okay. We got this. It just, everything fluctuates because that's how energy is. Real love does not ask you to hinge your self-worth on anything. You don't have to earn it. Right? So then why are all of us trying to earn our own love? Why are we saying to ourselves that we'll only feel good when we make this much money, when we finally lose this weight? And ironically, as a manifestation coach, what I understand is that you are in complete energetic opposition to that very thing that you want so badly. If I was insecure before being in a relationship, then now he doesn't text me back. You know, she doesn't respond to my calls. These types of things are going to cause a lot of anxiety. And that's not happiness. That's not feeling secure in love. And so you are probably feeling anxious all the time because you have that relationship with yourself. You're basically like, oh my God, if you don't work out, or if you don't eat this, or if you don't make this much money, then like I'm gonna leave you. That's what you're saying to yourself. And that's not very loving. So what I wanna ask you is, how would you act if you already loved yourself? If you didn't have to earn it? I wonder what that would be like.
Deep. Yeah. Again, her name is, oh, Okay, so her name is Samantha Simplifying Sam on TikTok, at simplifying.sam on TikTok. Man, this shit's going to be in my show notes. And her catchphrase is, or her description is, living authentically, breaking out of the matrix, helping you manifest. Praise, homegirl. Praise. Now, I am not going to repeat what she said, because everything she said was perfectly. The major takeaway for me, or the part that I'm sticking, or the thought exercise that, or the part that I'm going to be pondering and thinking a lot about, is the idea of myself versus myself. Because that's the struggle right now. Because the idea of myself hasn't been working out for me. So I'm just thinking about focus. If you're like me, in order to properly process everything she said, you're going to need some time to reflect on the idea of yourself and who you actually are. Fuck, why am I preaching to you? I'm talking to myself here. I'm working, in addition to believing that I'm worthy, I'm struggling on who the fuck I am. Part of this podcast is actually, part of the reason why I've not gone public with this podcast is because I'm getting to learn who I am, as opposed to the idea of myself. And before I can put him out, I need to know who he is. I need to just get in tune with my own self. And then once I can make that distinction, then I can work on the love part. All right. And this next section I had was some random news. And okay, I tell you what, it's according to this, I'm 1 hour and 5 minutes into my recording. What time did I start recording? Anyways, give me 20 minutes. I'm asking right now for 20 minutes of your time, and we can go to recess. I start at 4:50, and it's 6 o'clock. Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah. 20 minutes, and that's it. All right, okay. Let's go. RIP Tony Cicero. Tony Cicero, for those who don't know, he passed away this week, and he played Paulie Walnuts on The Sopranos. I think he played some Don in some one of those bootleg black gangster movies, but it doesn't matter. But whatever. But the way I know him the most is from playing Paulie in The Sopranos. All right, next. Oh, this might be the title of my episode, but I'm going, shit is real in Sri Lanka, man. Shit is real in Sri Lanka. So Sri Lanka is, it's interesting learning about another country who's like struggling like Haiti. Like, I've grown up just thinking about Haiti and all its struggle. But in this case is, so the economy, Sri Lanka has been struggling, and who's made the struggle even worse, based on what I'm reading, is the president. The government has been doing a shitty job it's been making a series of bad decisions after bad decisions. Like, this ain't a case of give them a chance. No, from what I'm reading is, yeah, they've been fucking up. And the only reason I bring this up is because I remember watching this clip of the president running on a cruise ship, excuse me, running on a naval ship to escape his country and the wrath of the people. Because at this point, the people have, like, there's videos of Sri Lanka's trending on Twitter, and it's videos of the population running down their capital, like taking over the capital, whatever, and basically fleeing. It just made me think of when Duvalier left the country. But except there was no video of Duvalier leaving Haiti with the money. No, in this case, it's you just see the president run with his suitcase behind him, running, sprinting to get on this boat. And the reason I think about this, because it reminded me of this one time I went on a cruise ship, right? And then docked at every island, and. I can't remember what island. Was it St. Lucia? No, it was St. Martin. And I had some taxi driver take me to the local strip clubs. My man. Yeah, exactly. And helped me find weed, which is, by the way, don't do drugs, kids. Man, oh, long story short, after this man takes me on this tour and I'm fucking high, we're running late. I think we were supposed to be on the ship by a particular time. And they tell you, yeah, if you don't show up, if you're late, we're leaving your ass there and you got to figure out how to get back home or catching up with us. But yeah, they don't fuck around. And and I remember as we're stuck in traffic, the taxi driver is taking me back and we're stuck in traffic. Remember, I'm high. I'm freaking the fuck out. And the taxi, you know, the taxi driver is like, well, I say taxi driver, but I think it's one of those illegal, doesn't matter. But the dude was reassured, but I wasn't. Like, no, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. And we're stuck in traffic. And I had an image of myself being like the president of Sri Lanka escaping, getting back on my ship. That's why I called it a cruise ship at the beginning. That's the only reason I'm bringing this up. I mean, it's fucked up. I mean, it's a, okay, look, it's not something to laugh at. Like, you know, there's people starving, like, the homie Jay, she was telling me how she's like paying attention to the news there, and she was saying like the economy is so bad there are people who were like dying as they're waiting, like they're in line to get gas and they're like dying in their in the car as they're waiting. Like it's kind of fucked up, and president didn't really I can't go into the details. Holy shit, the only reason I bring this up is because that clip of the president running to get on the ship, to get on his vessel ship, the naval ship, to leave his country, because, you know, there's a lot of angry people he disappointed. To escape all these people just reminded me of how I was running late for the ship, except it wasn't as bad as him. Like, by the time I got there, there was still a line of people getting in, so like it wasn't a situation of one guy running like this guy and they're getting ready to, like, you know, pomp and leave away. But yeah, man, shit is real in Sri Lanka. That's the whole point of this segment. All right, next item: Elon Musk just terminated his deal to buy Twitter, and now he's being sued over it. Now, usually, I just fucking stick to the headline, but I'm just gonna say, thank God, because I was actually worried that I was going to have to change the intro. Like, if Elon Musk had bought Twitter, I would not reference the fact that I was on Twitter like I do in every episode. You know, B-Black, a.k.a. B-Blizzak on Twitter. Yeah, if that white man would have bought Twitter, I would have stopped saying that. But yeah, so thank God. Granted, like, I read the article and hoping that there was no mistake. Doesn't matter. But my point is, I read the article. Because usually I just stick to the headlines, and the only thing that takes me away, that gets me about this whole story, is how this motherfucker was gonna pay $44 billion for Twitter. You know how many lap dance you could get with $44 billion? I'm not gonna tell you. There's a lot of math. There's a lot of like calculation, but $44 billion is a lot of money. Anyway, so that's not gonna happen. Next news item is prominent Radio Canada personalities urge broadcasters to fight the CRTC N-word decision. Okay, so I'm just going to post the article. Yes, I did read it, but I'm going to just, again, 20 minutes of your time, and I'm already at 8 minutes left. All right, so first I'm going to say a shout-out to my man Renzo Washington. He's the one who's, like, been... he's the reason why I'm aware of this situation. Actually, no, I think him and my homegirl, Diva Rachel DeCus. Yeah, they were talking about me. And whatever. So apparently what happened, long story short, is some, I guess, Radio Canada? Yeah, it says, sorry. Some TV show or radio show in Quebec, some French TV show, Quebec, whatever. Freely used the N-word on their show. Now, apparently it was in reference to, I guess it was some title of the book. But the thing is, they dropped the N-word like white people dropped it. Like white people who have, it doesn't matter to me. Like that word has no fucking meaning. Like they were really free in their usage of the N-word. And yeah, I guess CRTC was able to get them to, hey, need you to apologize for your usage of the N-word. and a bunch of, like white people do, French personalities, like big names in the Quebec media world, were like, hey, that's some bullshit, man. That's our freedom. You're infringing on our freedom. Like, they're mad that they were, that this person was forced to apologize, because to them it's an attack on their freedom of speech. Now, I'm not going to go into this to whatever argument they're presenting. I'm just going to say that I wish, but that's not the world that we live in. You know, I'm a dreamer, but I wish I could get white people to understand, and bonus points if I could get them to care on what goes through my mind when I hear the N-word. It's just, look, I realized in therapy that I am not, excuse me, not in therapy, through therapy, that I am still, I've been, every time I've been, like I'm 47 years old, 47, yeah, 47 years old, and I'm still processing the first time I've ever heard the N-word. So, like, a lot of my brain explodes. Like, if you could do a CAT scan on my brain, you'd probably see an explosion every time I see the N-word. Like, on one point, because the first time I've ever heard the N-word, I was surrounded by a whole bunch of people saying, hey, it was like, you're mad, but you can't do anything about it. It's like, I want to explode in just rage and just like go insane. But I'm surrounded by white people who don't understand it, who to them it's just six, N-I-G-G-E-R. Yeah, six letters. It's only six letters. Words shouldn't really fucking affect you. But what they don't get is when I hear the N-word, all the bad stories of black history, all the shitty stories happen up, like just gets presented in my brain all at once. And then you're surrounded by, I'm surrounded by people, and that includes my parents, who are like, don't make a big deal out of it. Don't, you know, don't let the word get to you. But it is. But it is. Like, I have to hold back on the urge to, like, murder you and your entire family. I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but I'm saying there's, it's, that word is triggering. It's like I said, I'm thinking back of when I was in first grade or when I was in kindergarten. So the white kid dropped the N-word and didn't know what it was about. Because I'm surrounded by white people. Like, because I grew up with white people and they never understood it. And they're all, and I surrounded by white people who are like, hey, the N-word should not have any power on you, while it has power on me. Like, I've never had like the proper conversation with an adult about the significance of that word. It's like, yeah, yeah, it's going to make you angry. Yeah. Like I think about slavery, I think about Jim Crow, I'm thinking about all the atrocities committed against black people, and what's worse, not just the atrocity, and how everyone pretended like it never happened. Like, it's like, well, that sucks. That's like it's the look, any human being, I put you in a situation where I make you angry, there's a way to resolve that situation. You know, like, there's a resolution to that anger. Nah, for black people, it's been like, hold on to that anger and deal with it. Make it your problem. But feel that anger and don't do shit about it. It's like, there's a psychological effect to the usage of the N-word. Like, for these white people, to them, it's just, look, freedom of expression. And I think what the complaint, the person who made the complaint about, you know, the usage of the N-word is, just to say, look, can we stop acting like shit didn't happen? Look, okay, one thing that angers me the most about, when I say, like, you know, fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, as a crew, this, it's like the shit that white people do that just angers me. And it's like, hey, look, we benefit from racism. Yeah, racism is a bad thing for you, but it's not a big deal for us. It's like, it's no acknowledgement that, hey, racism is fucked up for us. Like, while you benefit from this shit, while you go out there parading about how you're not racist, how you're one of the good white people, or how, oh, at least we're not as racist as these Americans, or, oh, well, at least we're not as racist as these Nazis, as you, we're one of the good people. Like, while you go parading, talking about talking about how you're this great white person and how racism has no fucking value in this in 2022, I have to worry about the possibility that I might be a George Floyd. I might go out like George Floyd. Like Kylie Browder. Okay, good. Your white people aren't going to get that one. Like Emmett Till. I could say any names right now, right? I could go out like Trayvon Martin. Like the fact that my life has, like, I think a lot of, you know, how dying during a traffic stop and all the white people who would believe that I grew up with, who would believe that, oh, wow, I didn't know, I didn't realize that B Black was such a dangerous drug dealer, or that he was stupid enough to reach for a cop's gun or whatever, like, you know, and shit like that. Look, when I hear the N-word, all I can think about is how shitty life has been existing while Black. It's just another reminder. It's like it's a strong, powerful, it's not just a word. That's really what I'm just trying to say. To them, it's just the word. Like, anytime a white person says, okay, I'm going over my limit here. But anytime a white person, like, tries to convince me that it's no big deal, I want to stab you with this pen in your throat. Like, the N-word was used to dehumanize us. And the human side of me, like, the person who uses the N-word loses their humanity in my eyes. When they use it so carelessly, you're no longer a human being. You're like an evil, you're like an alien that came from another planet that does evil things. And it's like either me or you gotta die. You know what? Okay. As I'm explaining how much I hate the usage of the N-word, all I can picture myself is talking to a fucking wall who is like, who's just, not someone who's going to listen to what I'm saying. They're just waiting for me to stop talking so they can continue off and gaslight me to how the N-word should not have any power on me. And the truth is, it does. And shout out to the brother, I think his name is Patrick Lamour. Monsieur Lamour. Let me get this. You know, I'm going to link the article because I'm going over my time that I promised that I was going to take. But shout out to the person. Oh, pardon. Ricardo Lamour, a social worker and an artist, filed a complaint with the broadcasting and telecommunication regulator after hearing the journalist and commentator repeat the offensive word several times on the air in 2020. Yeah, man. Shout out to the black folks who just, like, for me, I would have just let this shit. It would have just been one of those things that, well, we can't win. We can't win against these white folks. Now, shout out to the black people who make a big deal, who made it a big deal, and made it news, you know, made a deal out of it and fought for it. And shout out to my man Renzo Washington for highlighting this story, because he just, like, he's a comedian and he's like, you know, he's like I was going to say black John Stewart, but really he's more like a Trevor Noah, I guess, because he's black, but he's Asian. Doesn't matter. But my point is, I wouldn't have known about this story had he not made a big deal out of it and started dissing the white folks who are like, they're just poor fairies. See? And it's also a reminder, goddamn Canada, Quebec, man, make a fucking decision. Either you're against racism, either you're fighting racism, or you're not. Either you're accepting racism, like it's a, like, you know, like it's apple pie, whatever the fuck, maple syrup, or you join the fight against it. And part of joining the fight is recognizing that the N-word is just not a regular six-letter words that you can just use like it has no meaning. It does. Study your history, man. God damn it. Yeah. Fuck. Okay. I went off time because, you know, that shit went off track. All right. Now, I'm going to end with this one segment. It's called The Tweet That Broke the Internet. That was responsible for the, no, not really, but it's called some dude named Jerome Davidson for Congress, and I guess he said the only way you could If you're going to put shit on the internet, it's got to be provocative. And I'm going to play the clip and try to describe what's going on here. So it starts out with a Klansman holding Lucille, if you're familiar with The Walking Dead, a bat wrapped around with wires. And this is how it goes. I'm going to try to narrate what's going on here. But you'll be able to see it for yourself. But this shit just blew my mind.
Democrats like to say that no one needs an AR-15 for self-defense.
Okay, he said Democrats like to want us to believe that we don't need an AR-15 for self-defense.
That no one could possibly need all...
Okay, this white dude, you can tell he's like Republican, and he wants Republicans to like, hey, I'm one of the good black guys, because the next scene was him praying because he loves his Jesus. He loves his white Jesus. Anyways, so I guess the whole commercial is him saying, I need this AR-15 because I need to cap some crackers. And by crackers, I mean Democrats.
All 30 rounds. But when this rifle is the only thing standing between your family and a dozen angry Democrats in Klan hoods, you just might need that semi-automatic.
Looking like Terminator.
And all 30 rounds.
And all 30 rounds. Yeah, man, this shit blew my mind, man. The only commentary I have for it is, when I hear the N-word, I feel like busting shot with an AR-15 and not caring about where, I'm not saying I'm going to do it. I'm saying, see, part of being a white privilege is not being able to relate to that kind of rage, that kind of anger, being provoked in that manner. I don't know, maybe, you know, if I banged your wife while you were looking and she was just calling out my name in ways that she didn't call out yours, maybe that would make you angry. Maybe you'd understand what I'm trying to say, but whatever. Okay. But if I'm the only comment I'm going to say about this clip that's worth checking out is to the white people. There's a lot of, I guess, Democrats were pissed. There's like white people who are like pissed at this black guy for the, how dare you say that Democrats would be in the clown outfit? I'm like, come on, folks. Come on. Like, I mean, like, it's, come on, man. I guess I'm saying to the white people offended by this commercial, I'm like, please, come on, man. He's fucking with you. He's I guess this is one of those, the idea of yourself versus yourself, you know. If you're a Democrat and not racist, and the idea of a Democrat in a Klan uniform offends you, like, come on, check yourself, man. I'm like, because this shit is funny. It's both funny and both ridiculous. It's like the one time a black Republican is willing to acknowledge racism, it's when it's coming from Democrat, like the Republican, the white Republicans. Nah, fuck that. They're the good white. Them the good white folks. But Democrats, and they're the ones wearing Klan outfit. It's ridiculous. It's as conceivable as the network going down, like a system that was built to be redundant, called the internet, actually failing us. Yeah, I'm trying to make a link between this commercial and the internet and me losing internet access. But I've lost you on there. I lost you on that one. But yeah. Anyways, wow. Was that 20 minutes? I probably went by a few change, but whatever, man. Anyway, whatever. I'm going to stop here. And says, this finally concludes today's episode. Holler at me on Twitter at bblizak on Twitter, which is will not be owned by Elon Musk. My website, the website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And until further notice, to subscribe to the podcast, just use the RSS feed on the website. Sorry. Yeah. Shutuppodcast.com. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast.